Amen. Thank you for your giving and for that offertory.
We're going to do something a little bit different tonight. I'm going to interview Brother Mader a little bit, ask him some intensely personal questions, and I'm going to sit down while y'all are sitting as well. So I got sat I sat in this seat a few moments ago and couldn't hardly get out. So anyway, it's been a long day. But now we're not going to open the floor to questions from the audience because somebody's going to bring up and ask you your opinion about paneling versus drywall, probably. So we won't do that tonight. But there's some things that I want to ask you about, and maybe everybody else is curious about. First of all, let me say we kind of joke a little bit, but as you guys pray and decide how God is leading you, we are not trying to put pressure on you. We would love to have you join our team, and as soon as you pray through on that, that's great. But more than anything else, we want God's will, and so we're glad you're here with us today. Why don't you start from the beginning, and these people probably don't know, but you went to that other Bible college that I didn't go to. Tell us a little bit about growing up and how you ended up at GBS, that kind of thing.
Okay, well, so I grew up close to Niagara Falls, Ontario, which somebody approached me after church this morning, and they said, "You're Canadian, aren't you?" And I was like, "You found it. You found me out. You know, I get out." That was the giveaway. Out. Yeah, out. And so I grew up in Ridgeway, Ontario, which is close to Niagara Falls, really Buffalo, New York, right across the border. And there was a camp, a holiness camp meeting there in Niagara for a lot of years. Nate was there back in the day. And that camp has moved up actually north of Toronto now. But I grew up going to that camp meeting. That had a profound effect on my life. And so it was through that camp where people came through there preaching, like Dr. Wingrove Taylor and Dr. Avery and Brother Dan Stettler and, you know, guys of that stature. And it gave me a hunger for holiness, really, if you want to say, really what it is. And so through that influence is where I started to become acquainted with God's Bible School. And that's where I wound up in the year 2001. Went there, and I guess I should tell you too, when I was around 10, I felt like the Lord was calling me to preach. It's hard to kind of explain. I was actually in a Wednesday night prayer meeting, just a mundane service, nothing special going on. And I mean, prayer meeting is special, right? I mean, it is special, but you know what I mean? It was just one of those mundane services. And it was there that I sensed God was wanting me to be involved in preaching ministry and full-time ministry. And I didn't tell anybody for a long time. Because I thought, oh, this will just be another one of those things. Like, I really wanted to be a doctor, and I really wanted to be a train engineer, and I really wanted to do this and that and the other thing, you know. And I thought, it'll pass, just like all the other stuff did, except it never went away. And one day I finally spilled the beans to my mother and told her, "Hey, I don't know what this is about, but I feel like maybe God's wanting me to preach." And she's like, "I know." And I'm like, "Great job keeping a secret. How'd she know? I didn't tell nobody." No, but my mom was like, "You know, God's already talked to me," and I felt, and so it was this confirmation of okay, I guess I'm not just hearing things crazy, and I've never been able to shake the fact that God wants me to be involved in ministry. And over the last several years, I would even in my time at God's Bible School, I passed out my first time preaching, by the way. I don't know if you've heard that story. That was a test.
I have not heard that story.
Yeah, oh, you haven't? Yeah, well, but I got it. Somebody sent me a text message the other day that said, "Pastoring is a walk in the park. Jurassic Park, but a park, nonetheless." You know? And I just say that to, not that pastoring is terrible, but there's moments that the call of God is what has kept me. I know this is what God wants me to do. And even in this transition, you know, when Michelle and I started to feel back in October, just kind of out of the blue, feeling like God was redirecting us. Well, the sky's the limit on options of what you could do with life. And, you know, I started thinking, well, maybe, you know, maybe I'm just burned out, and maybe I need to, you know, learn a trade. I'll just be an electrician for a while, or I'll just, you know, all these thoughts go through my head. And it's like God immediately says, no, that's not what I have for you to do. And I'm like, okay, Lord, you know. And, but it was through following the call to ministry. I felt God lead me to God's Bible school, and I spent 6 years there. I got a BA in ministerial education and an associate of arts and music ministry there. So that was a long answer. Are they texting you questions?
I was just checking to make sure.
Oh, man.
I got a prayer request then, but not a question.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
We're okay. So tell us about God's Bible school and a little bit about your wife. I'm sure she doesn't want to come up here and share, so why don't you share a little bit about her and how y'all met?
Okay. So my wife grew up on the campus of God's Bible school. Her mom is, some of you may know, Martha Miller. She is her own orchestra. If you've ever heard her play the piano, she's incredible. And she's played the piano there for a long time, taught in the music division. And so Michelle actually grew up there. Her grandfather used to be the president of God's Bible School, Brother Ben Smiller, if any of you know him.
Say it again.
No. So she had a lot of connections there, of course. And so when I went there in 2001, Michelle and I didn't really, our paths didn't really cross a lot our freshman year. And we actually got set up on a blind date. It was my sophomore year, because I didn't really know how to talk to, like, to ask a girl out, or I was kind of, I didn't know. I was a little bit on the shy side, I guess. And, you know, people come up to me like, I think so-and-so likes you. I'm like, really? I don't know. It's just, you know. So it was providential. We were set up on a blind date, and that helped push me out, you know. And what was interesting, though, is I found out who I was supposed to be going on this blind date with, and she found out who she was supposed to be going on this blind date with. And so it wasn't really blind anymore, you know. And so I thought, well, this is dumb. She knows, and I know. Just man up and go ask her myself. And so she was in the music studio in a voice lesson with Dr. Garen Wolf. I worked for Brother Wolf. I was his gopher for several years. And he got called out of the office, and she was in his office on her own. And I actually went into Mr. Wolf's office, just the two of us. He was out answering a phone call or something. And I was like, hey, you know, I guess you kind of know what's going on. Would you go out with me? We're going to go to the CSO, the Cincinnati Symphony. Anybody like symphony music? I didn't then, but I learned to. So that was the beginning, and we've been together ever since. We got married in 2007. Graduated in 2007, got married that summer, and we started pastoring 1 week after we were married. So,
what kind of music did you like back then?
If
you didn't like orchestra, what in the world did you like?
I grew up on a steady diet of Southern gospel music and oldies. Like, we're talking the Beach Boys and Elvis. I listened to all that stuff back in the day.
Well, that's what I get for asking that question.
That's what I know.
So, was it difficult to get married and then jump right into a pastorate? How did that... How was all that?
I mean, that was a big year of transition. And both of us were green as grass. And by the way, for any lady, I don't know if there's any, some young ladies here that are maybe, if you ever marry a pastor, there is no course on how to be a pastor's wife. Really, there's not. And I don't know how you really fix that. I mean, I'm not sure what the answer is to that. I'll just say, you know, my wife has been fantastic, but she felt the pressure big time of like, okay, well, what do I do? You know, and I didn't realize that. I was just I was trying to figure out what I was supposed to do, and I'd been trained some, you know, but I wasn't sure what I was doing either. And so there was a lot of some of it is your own expectations you put on yourself, but we were able to work through some of those early years of you just kind of learn your way along. So
that's good. I want to talk about Youth Challenge for a moment. That's something that you and I have in common. We both serve on the Youth Challenge Executive Board and have for, I've been on there since 2001. You've been on since 2005, right?
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that. How did it come to be that you came on the Youth Challenge Board?
I was in my dorm room one night, and it was late at night, as I recall, which seems to be when we conduct a lot of business as Youth Challenge. But,
that's right.
And my phone rang in my dorm room, landline. Those were the days, man. Great big old phone, you know. I'm not even sure who. I think it was John Manley who was on the other end, and he asked if I would have interest in being part of the Youth Challenge Committee, and that blew me away. I mean, I still had a couple years of school left. I was unmarried, and so
we took a great risk.
You took a risk. That's how it happened, and I was crazy enough to say yes.
The backstory to that is Brother Tim Dotson, of course, I've shared several times how he passed away suddenly on the way to Youth Challenge, actually. And he had been the founder and director of Youth Challenge, and we had worked through that convention, and trying to remember if we met. I think we met in January then for our planning meeting, but we didn't have a director, and so the Lord helped us. We elected John Manley to be the director, but then we needed to fill that position, and we decided, and I don't remember all the details of the discussion. It was a very long time to recover the organization and try to carry on after Tim had passed away, but we decided to go young, and we went really young, and Mike wasn't even married at the time and any of that, but you have served Youth Challenge very, very well. So tell everybody what you do for Youth Challenge and kind of what your role has been there.
I mean, my title is financial director. So I'm the Judas, the treasurer. That's my main role. And then I help with some of the, at the West Harrison in the Indiana Youth Challenge. We have two Youth Challenges now. So but I help with the registration there and help with some of the lodging issues. Those are some of my main roles. But
sure. Also, there was there's a Tim Dotson scholarship that's given away every year. Do I remember right? Did you get that scholarship one time?
I did. Yeah. Yes.
When was that?
I think I was the first recipient. It was the first year you gave it.
Okay.
It would have been probably 2004-ish.
Okay. So there's a lot of connections with Mike and Youth Challenge, and thank you for your faithfulness through all that. Tell us a little bit more about your family. You have three children. We kind of talked a little bit about them this morning, but a couple of them are in a kids' club. But tell us about your family.
All right. So our son Joshua is 6 years old. He's our redhead, and he's a ball of energy and a lot of fun, and he loves games. He loves any kind of vehicle. If it moves, he likes it. Right now he's into tractor. We play Tractoropoly, which is basically the same thing as Monopoly. It's just, instead of, everybody familiar, we're sure you're familiar with Monopoly, and so instead of Boardwalk and Park Place, it's the Cotton Picker and the S Series Combine, you know, and you build silos and barns instead of houses and hotels. Anyway, he's a lot of fun. He's in kindergarten this year, where Michelle's been homeschooling him. He has five lessons left, and he informed me the other day, I have five lessons and then I get 99 days off of school. I'm like, wow, this is true, wow. And then Maria, she's 4 years old, she's our little princess, and she's all girl. She loves, I walked into her room the other night to say our goodnights, and she had three pillows on her bed, and she informed me, she's like, Daddy, this pillow, this is Sally, and this is Betsy, and this is the daddy pillow here. Like, she's everything's family and all. She's already, like, she picks up on romance already. I'm like, no. And so the other day she was asking me to play with her. She has these little princesses, and she's like, Daddy, will you play with me? And I was like, okay. And, you know, she's on the kitchen floor, so I'm like, okay. I mean, I'm not like an old guy, but still, getting on the floor doesn't feel very nice anymore. And she's like, you be the queen. And I'm like, okay. And so as we're, I don't know
did
what
did you
all
take
to
pictures?
No, we didn't. Okay. And so I've got this little queen. I didn't have to dress up. I had this little, and so I'm like, you know, I don't know what to do. And so I'm like, hey, you know, little princesses, how, you know, what are you doing? I'm trying to make small talk. And I thought, you know what, let's just take this a different direction. I'm like, now you princesses know that should you ever want to marry a prince someday, you need to talk to the king and I about who you're going to be. I'm like, she's already keen. And she's like, okay, mommy, you know, and I'm like hoping to drill some things. I'm like, boys are bad. They're bad. And there's some of them out there. Anyhow, I digress. And then Margaret, she was born just a couple months ago, February 27th, and she's a blessing from God. And she's been our easiest so far, knock on wood. Our easiest of the three so far. She's pretty laid back. She only cries when she's hungry or needs her diaper changed pretty well. And we're not used to that. Actually, a couple days after we got home, I was like, Michelle, is there something wrong with her? She doesn't cry very much. It's like, there must be something wrong. But she's, if you haven't met Margaret yet, she's, you have to get a glimpse of her. She's pretty. So that's
good. Tell us about your involvement with, you hold your credentials. Tell us where you hold your ordination and a little bit about your involvement.
So I'm an elder in the Heartland Bible Methodist Conference, and formerly the Ohio Conference. And so I was ordained back in 2008, I think. I think that's accurate. And so what else was I supposed to add?
Tell us about your youth camp.
Oh, okay. So I'm the president of the Heartland Bible Methodist Youth Camp, which is in Mendon, Ohio, and we have about 200 and something campers that come. It's grown. I remember it's just been like 6 or 7 years ago we had less than 150, and then it started just ballooning, and we had like 264 a few years ago, and we've had some growing pains logistically when you have 100 more campers. There's some adjustments that have to be made, but we typically have over 400 people on the campground, and so that's something I've been the president over 10 youth camps, which is hard to believe. So I've done it for a decade, and that's every July, the third full week of July, and it's been actually Pastor Heath came and spoke 1 year. It was tremendous. God has used that camp. I remember actually going there. That was the first youth camp I'd ever gone to in my life. I traveled with God's Bible School. I sang in a quartet. And I'd never been to a youth camp in my life. Just never really had the opportunity or didn't really know about youth camps. Just where I grew up, it just wasn't a thing. And so I got to, that was the first camp that they let me participate. I was young enough. They let me participate as a youth camper, and even all the way back then, I sensed something special there. And God has used that year after year to help our young people. So it's a lot of work. It's a lot of stress. I've probably got a lot of white hairs that have developed from that, but it's been worth it to me to be part of an organization that's making a difference, and it's been a privilege to serve.
That's good. As God leads you away from your first pastorate, which you've been there 12 years, one of the joys of leaving a pastorate as a pastor and as a preacher is then you get to tell stories about your previous place, and you don't use names and you don't embarrass anybody. So there's nobody here from Greenfield, is there? Okay. No Facebook Live going on right now. Tell us some kind of funny story that's happened in your ministry since you've been at Greenfield.
Funny story. Oh, man.
You put me on the spot. I don't know that. I'm drawing blanks on that one. I don't know. Honey, you got anything? John, I don't think I have a funny story at the moment.
Really? That's interesting.
It's all been serious.
Really? Do you have any hobbies? What do you like to do?
So way back in the day, like any sport, I love to play basketball. I love playing softball. And I still enjoy that, but I don't do it as much anymore. Maybe as my boy gets a little older, I'll play more with him. Right now, he's almost afraid of the basketball. Like he's going to get hit. So, I'll start playing. He's like, Dad, can you knock it off? I just want to ride my bike around. But I do enjoy sports. I like riding my bike. And I like to play games as well, board games and such. So that's something I enjoy. And just being with my family and that sort of thing.
What's your favorite place to go on vacation?
Well, Pigeon Forge has kind of been our place of choice. So that's actually where we're going tomorrow.
Oh, good.
When my son, when he hears we're going on vacation, he just automatically thinks it's Tennessee. He's like, oh, we're going to Tennessee.
So is Thomasville closer to Pigeon Forge than Greenfield?
Yes.
Good. Just wanted to point that out. I knew the answer already. I just thought I'd mention that. So, do you have any questions you want to ask?
Brother Mike? He's opening the floor.
God. I guess I did say I wasn't going to do that, but
that's okay. Yeah.
Anybody? Yes. That's a good question.
This is where your youth go to camp. Who have to connect? I would like to know who they are. But oh yes, okay, yes, yeah. Oh, good folks. So the answer is yes. I definitely will be maintaining my relationship with Heartland Conference. In fact, we've been in dialogue about. I still want to go to ministerial, and I want to be at family camp there. I want that connection to be maintained. I would say within the next 3 years, I'll probably be moving away from the youth camp as president. I've talked with President Chris Cravens about that already, and so we haven't established how that transition is going to look exactly yet, but I've been in dialogue with him, and so when I told President Cravens when I'm 40, I'm looking to move on. So I'll be 37 this year. So
that was a good question. Anybody else?
Yes, my mom and dad still live in Ridgeway, and have many. My aunts and uncles are still in that area. So I'm a dual citizen. Yep. Are you too, Nate? You're not. No. Just good old United States of America.
Do we dare ask you who you voted for in the last election, or should we just skip that? Did you vote in the last election?
I did. You want to know? Oh, okay. Is that scary to?
No, it's good. We believe in voting.
I'll tell you in private if you want to know.
Should have asked you that before we voted on you at the board level. But anyway, just kidding.
Oh, we're going to make Faith Chapel great again.
That was smooth. That was good. That was impressive. Good. Any more questions?
I do have a sister. She's just one sister. She's 4 years older than I am, and she lives in Lockport, New York. my singing career. Okay, yeah, I sing with a group, Convention Quartet. I sing bass with them, and it's really a hobby. Really, if we do 5 dates in a year, that's like a lot. So we just kind of, we do have a recording. Yeah, is that just one? Yeah. Well, I think they have 2, but I wasn't on the first one. So I'm on 1, but yeah. Not very well. I can tinker on a piano. I can tinker on a guitar, but I'm not super well.
Does your wife play an instrument?
She does.
Tell us more.
She's a strings. She has a degree from God's Bible School in music ministry. And, well, it's not music ministry, but what, it's a Bachelor of Arts in music education. So she majored in violin, and voice would have been your, the minor. Thank you, major or minor. And so she has taught string classes. And she has, I think, 1 violin student she's teaching right now. As we've had children, she kind of backed away from teaching obligations for a while, but there's 1 student that she still has. So, but she loves the strings. That's her thing.
Does she play the piano?
How do I answer that, honey? No, she does not play the piano.
Oh, I thought she did.
Very well means... Yes. Interpret that for us there, Mike.
All right. She plays at home.
Wow, the smoothness from this side of the platform is good.
Michelle is an excellent sight reader of music. And so I am not. And so there's been lots of times where I've been involved in musical things, and I'm like, honey, you got to help me learn this because I'm terrible. I've gotten some better through the years, but so she's an excellent sight reader. But she would be, she would be very uncomfortable playing it for a congregational singing sort of a thing. She'd be like, oh no. So,
good.
She's not her mom.
Oh, that's
in that regard. Yeah.
Any more questions?
Does Michelle have hobbies?
You're going to ask a mother of 3 her hobbies?
She reads. She does. She loves to read. I think that would be a big one. And look at these decorating blogs, like Thrifty Decor Chick, and what are these other things you look at? I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah.
This is good.
She's a mom. Yeah, that's her main.
Anybody else? Well, we are excited that you are considering to come here, and God has been taking our church through all kinds of journeys and exciting things, and I'm really thrilled about the future, and we'll be praying for you all on your Pigeon Forge vacation.
Thank you.
And pray that the Lord would give you wisdom, and whatever you decide, we want God's will more than anything else.
Amen. Amen.
So why don't you give Mike and Michelle a round of applause tonight?
Thank you.
Before you turn that off, I'd like you to lead us in prayer. You were here during Journey to Bethlehem, kind of caught a little bit of what we try to do in reaching out, and you've been back at Kids Club a little bit, and we met in the youth room. So you know a lot of changes we've had over the last few years. Why don't you close us in prayer as we look to the future and ask God to bless our congregation and whatever God has for us in the future. Lead us in prayer as we finish the service.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way that you watch over us and grant us grace every day. We're thankful your mercies are new every morning. And God, we look to you. You're our source of strength. You're our redeemer. You're our healer. You're our sanctifier. And God, you're our shepherd, and we just place our trust in you. And we thank you that you've adopted us into your family. And God, we want to be faithful to you and used by you however you see fit. And so, Lord, I pray for this local church. Would you continue to use this church to accomplish your purpose? And, Lord, we believe that you have given a clear mission to your church, which is to go into all the world and preach the gospel, and baptize and disciple people, and Lord, I just pray, would you help Faith Community Chapel to fulfill that mission? Lord, would you open doors? You've been opening them, but Lord, would you continue to open doors of influence that this church would be able to win people to you, and that lives would be transformed through your gospel. We thank you for what's happening in the Kids Club, and we thank you also for how you've been using Journey to Bethlehem. But God, we just pray, would you continue to build your kingdom here for your glory and for your honor? We're not looking to make a name for ourselves, God, but we want your kingdom to grow and advance, and may you receive all the glory. I pray, God, would you continue to lead and direct Pastor Heath and his family, and Pastor Jeffrey and his family. God, I just pray, would you give wisdom to the elders here as well? And Lord, we just ask, would you continue to lead and direct and bless? And for what you do, we'll give your name thanks. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
And all God's people said, amen. Thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for being here. You are dismissed. Lord bless you.